Okay, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Gimel. We're in the middle of Perek Gimel. In your edition, it's on page Chaf Beis, three lines from the bottom. So we're talking about, last week we discussed things that Hashem created before He created the world. We had seven things that Hashem created before He created the world. So now we're going to discuss at least the first day of what Hashem created on the first day, and then we'll see what we're going to discuss after that. Hashem created eight things on the first day of creation. The Elohim, and these are the eight things, and they're all derived from the first two psukim in Chumash. Shomayim, v'aretz, v'or, v'chayshech, the heavens, the earth, the light, the darkness. V'soyhu, v'voyhu, soyhu means nothingness. Boyhu means emptiness. Ruach, a wind. Umayim and water. Shenemar v'ruach elikim rachaves al pnei amoyim. The Radal has a little different pshat than what I'm going to say, but I think that the word is that if you take the first two psukim, so you get all eight of these things. So you have Bereish is bar elikim, Eitz hashomayim ve'Eitz ha'aretz ve'aretz ve'Eitz ha'soyu v'voyu. And then the next pasuk is the first three psukim, and then in the first three psukim, and then you have v'choishech. So that's where all these things come. When the manish brings just this pasuk, I think it just means all those psukim in the beginning of Bereishis. The Radal has a different pshat that it's coming to teach you that all these things are creation, and the chiddush is dafka by ruach and mayim, because it doesn't say a lashon of creating by ruach and mayim. But okay, I don't know if you have to say that. V'yeshayimrim, af yom v'layla. Another two things were created on the first day. Yom and layla, day and night. Shemar v'yerev v'yvaker yom echad. It says that Hashem created the light and dark on the first day, and then Hashem called the Or Yaim, and Hashem called the Cheshach Laila, and Vayibayker Yaim Echad. So this second opinion wants to say that Yaim and Laila was also created on the first day. The first opinion would tell you, no, Yaim and Laila is the same thing as day and night. Hashem created day and night, just He called the time that has light, day, and He called the time that has night, that has darkness, light, night. But He didn't create day and night. That's just what the time is called. It's not a special creation of. And this opinion, it seems, is saying that no, there's a separate creation called He created day and He created night.
He created
the concept of time, which is in a way it's a shtickle chiddush to say that you create a concept. You can.
We say He created time. Hashem created time.
Creation usually is you create something. You don't create an idea. There's an extra one if you don't have one. You have the same editions. You could show more pages. Just if you look at what it says in the Medrash, like Shidchiyah Stick. So it says that Hashem created Or and Cheshech. Of these eight or ten things that Hashem created on the first day is light and darkness. So it says He created darkness, right? Which we're just discussing right now. That it doesn't. It sounds very funny to say that you create a concept. Now it's an interesting machlekes, even in philosophers, but even in Rishonim and Achrayim, how to understand what is Cheshech. Is Cheshech just the absence of light? It's just if you don't have light, so mimela you have chesha, there's no light, so there's darkness.
We think that it is because we know what day is when and what night is.
I mean
like in the night you don't have the sun, you don't have light.
Right.
I mean that's the concept of chesha and
right. So it sounds like if you don't have light, then it just it's on its own it becomes dark.
That's the way you see it.
Right.
Every day we see that thing happening.
Or do you say that darkness on its own is a creation? It's something that it's an existence on its own. So it's a big machlokes. The Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunas V'Deis writes like the opinion that Cheshech is just the lack of light. The Rambam in Mer Nevuchim and the Rambam in Pirshim Rishnayis in the beginning of Pesachim also seems to say that darkness is just a lack of light. It's not its own creation. Also, the Balatanya famously writes that Ma'at Or is Deicha Habi Chishach. A little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness. He says, why? Because darkness is nothing. So when you take a little spark of something, that pushes away the nothing, because the darkness doesn't really exist. It's just because there's no light. That's one mahalach in the mafarshim. The other mahalach, a lot of other mafarshim say that no, darkness is a creation on its own. We say it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, I believe. We say in davening by shachris every morning. So Yetzer Or Uvarei Cheshech. Hashem created Cheshech. He formed light and he created Cheshech. So you see that Cheshech is a creation. The Chizkuni says this.
What's the difference between Yetzer and Bor?
Oh, we're going to say that in a moment. But the Chizkuni brings this pasuk as a raya that Cheshech is a creation on its own. It's its own existence. It's not just a lack of light. And the Vilna Gaon says this, the Radak says this, the Yaibit says this, the Maariz Chiyus, a whole bunch of other Achrenim, I think the Netziv and the Sefer HaKtav HaKabbalah, they bring this pasuk, Yetzer Or Uvarei Cheshech, to tell you that Cheshech is a creation on its own. It's not just a lack of light. There's a sort of a middle opinion. The Ramban has like a little bit more nuanced position on this matter. The Ramban says that when we talk about Cheshech in terms of Brias HaOlam, so Cheshech there means some sort of fire. I don't know what that means, but that's what Ramban says. And when we talk about darkness as we know it, so that for sure, he says darkness is just a lack of light. And like the Rav Sadin and the other Rishayim. And then he says, but the Cheshech that we find by Makas Cheshech in Mitzrayim, when Hashem gave darkness to the Mitzrayim, so that was a special type of Cheshech that Hashem created Dafka, a darkness that was its own creation. And that darkness had the koyach to push away light. Like usually light pushes away darkness, here the darkness pushed away the light. That's the Ramban's position. It was like a tangible darkness. Right. And the Chazal said that it was like thick, that they couldn't, for 3 days, like they couldn't even move.
Yeah. Well, since the sun wasn't created yet, that's light, that creates light. And here we're talking about Or, but there's no source of the Or. Whereas our light, there's always a source. So perhaps there's between Or and Or.
That's probably true, because
we're not talking.
I hear.
Does he speak about the time that predated this in terms of the nothingness that was hovering over the surface of the earth? Because without knowing, having some idea of what that nothingness was, it's a little hard to understand this.
It's true. What you're saying might be true. The only problem is that we don't know what happened before. We only know what the Torah tells us.
The Torah says that the nothingness.
And we know that we can't. I think it's a
word about letter. The Torah begins with the letter
Bez. Bez, yeah.
Because it's like you have a gag or whatever. Have a wall. You have walls all around.
Yeah.
We have one. What's it called? One exit. That means that everything like before. It's blocked for you to understand. The only thing you can't understand it from now on.
It's a Mishnah Chagiga. It says we don't ask what's up, what's higher than we understand, what's lower than we understand, what's before what we understand, what's after what we understand.
So understanding starts at this point.
Right. We can only deal with what we have. We have it from the Torah. What the Torah is trying to reveal to us in a few words, so that we can try to build on. But what we don't have, that's already. You know, it's already beyond us.
Yeah, we don't have Masoros.
Right, we don't. There's nothing to talk about. So the question is just an interesting question, that if you understand that Choshech is just a lack of light, so how could we say that you created Choshech? How does it say Birya? So like Rabbi Epstein said, that it could be that there's a distinction between the Lashon of Yotzer and Bayrei. And in fact, Rabbi Yosef Bochor Shor, in his Pirshas on Parshas Bereishis, says exactly that. He says Yotzer sounds like forming. So forming is like a physical thing that exists. You can only form something that exists. But Bria is more like a general, like it created. You can even create concepts or things that don't actually exist, or ideas. And I think that's really the approach that a lot of Rishonim sort of take to this idea. The Ramban writes that if the person who, let's say, you can say it like this, like if you turn the lights off in the room, right? So you say, who made the room dark? So what do you mean? Nobody made the room dark. Just we turned off the light, so mimele it's dark. The Ramban says no. The person who removed the light, you can call it that he created the darkness. He caused the darkness. That's what the Ramban says. The Kolbal just says like Stam. That's the lushan of the psukim. It could be that this is what he means, that we call it creation even though it's not necessarily a physical. Yeah. What?
Do any of the Mephorshim speak about when something is created, its opposite is created at the same time?
No, but you definitely do see that over here. Shemayim and Eretz, Or and Choshech, Yoyim, Laila. I don't know how Tohu and Vohu, how they're opposites, but I'm not sure what Tohu and Vohu are in the first place, so it could be that they're somehow their opposites. Ruach and Mayim, also you have to know exactly.
It's just that human beings, our ability to perceive life,
yeah,
quote-unquote life, is based upon opposites, dialectics.
Right. Okay. You bring out a point by saying like the opposite idea and comparing them.
Just having them in existence, right, next to each other, experiencing them, gives us the ability to perceive within it life. That's the way human beings are. That's what the Abish to put in our minds in terms of the ability to perceive.
Yeah. So. Just one last point on this. The Rekeach, interestingly, in his Pirush on Chumash and Parshas Bereishis, and once in his Pirush on the Siddur by Yetzer of Vayecheshech, he says a different idea. He says that when we talk about creating darkness, he says it's talking about creating the clouds. That's what he says. Since the clouds, like I was sitting in the park earlier today and watching like the clouds like blocking the sun, and then the wind moved it, and then it wasn't blocking the sun. So the clouds bring about darkness because they block the sun. That's the implication of what the Rekech is saying. But it's very difficult to say because, first of all, we're not talking, like Rabbi Pomeran said, we're not talking about a sun, we're talking about some other type of aur.
Or so, for the tzaddikim.
Right, the aur that's gunus for tzaddikim.
Whereas the sun aur, that's just the sun.
Right.
Here it's not actually aur.
Right.
There's no...
And also... According to the Rekech, we're talking about the Choshech which was created on the first day, which the Torah says about it, Hashem called that Choshech Laila. Now, according to the Rekech, it's not necessarily Laila. You could have in the middle of the day, the sun is out, but the clouds come and block the sun, so that makes Choshech, and that's called Choshech, but the Torah says what we're talking about is Laila. It's the middle of this. It could be in the middle of the day. Even so, I'm not sure exactly what the Rekech means. It's a interesting thing that has to be analyzed. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. Ushmoy b'yom hasheni. So the Medrash continues. It says that there were eight things that were created on the second day. Now this passage is slightly problematic. Before getting into what these eight things are, just these eight things are actually mentioned elsewhere, also in Pirkei Rabbeinu and Pirkei Yotes. When Hashem will get to there, and there it says that these things were created b'nishmashos. And in fact, what? Oh, we'll see in a minute. But also, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos. It says asar dvarim nivru'u be'erev Shabbos b'nishmashos, and it lists a lot of these same eight things that we're talking about over here. So the Radal changes the explanation of the Medrash. He says that it's not supposed to say Ushmoina Bayam Hasheni, it's supposed to say Ushmoina Bein Hashmashos. And he says that originally there was some sort of Rishitavis that it said Beis Yud Hei Shin, and whoever was printing it thought that, oh, we're talking about the first day, so now we're going to talk about the second day. So Beis Yud Hei Shin means Bayam Hasheni. But really, Beis Yud Hei Shin is an abbreviation for Bein Hashmashos. And if you say like that, then this is works very well with what it says in Perikyu Tess, and it works well with the Mishnah in Ovis. And all the questions are good. But if you say that it really means Bayam Hasheni, so then it just doesn't make any sense. Bayam Hasheni is really... Pirkei Rabbeinu is going to start talking about Bayam Hasheni in the next parak, on the parak Dalet. But over here, we're still talking about Pashas, we're still talking about the first day. But, so these are the eight things that were created Bein Hashmashos. Habe'er, the well, that was the well that the Jews had in the Midbar that gave them water. Haman, the man that fell from Shemayim. Hamata, Pashas, that means the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vakeshes, the rainbow. Vaksav, Mikhtov. So Ksav and Mikhtov, there's a few different mepharshim, what does Ksav and Mikhtov mean? Rashi, in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, brings two pshatim. Rashi first says Ksav means how to read what's written in Lashon HaKadosh and Parshas in Lashon HaKadosh, and Mikhtav means how to write it.
Nun
Dalet Amun Aleph. That's one pshat that Rashi says. The other pshat that Rashi says is that no, Ksav means how to write the letters of Lashon HaKadosh, let's say, and Mikhtav means that which is used to write on the Luchas. And some of the Mefarshim, the Ravan and the Mesachas Avos and Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Shimshon and Mesachas Avos, they say that the word shouldn't be read as Mikhtav, it should be read as Machtev, the thing that writes, the writer. The Hashem apparently used some sort of, Rashi calls it an eight v'cheret, like some sort of pen or inscribing tool that was used to inscribe the Luchas. So that's what it means, the Machtev or Mikhtav. Other Mefarshim say that that Ksav and Mikhtav is talking about maybe the way the Torah is written in Shemayim and the way that it's going to be written for us. That's a mahalach that Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rambam, other Mefarshim and Masechas Avos speak about. But that's Ksav v'Mikhtav. V'Hakutaynes, and the tunic or the coat. So the Bayis HaGadol that you guys have says maybe that's talking about the coat of Adam Rishon. The Marzu says it's talking about the code of Adam Rishon. Now we're going to talk about the code of Adam Rishon in Perek Yudalad and Perek Yudaliezer. But apparently Adam Rishon had a special garment that he wore. It says in the pasuk, "Vayas lehem kasnus or." Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a kasnus or a coat of or. Now or can mean or light with an aleph, or mean or with an ayin, which means skin. So there's different mafarshim. I think Pergadabuza seems to say says that later on that it was out of a fingernail. You heard such a thing?
Sure, it was like translucent.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a nail.
No, that's what they had before the chet.
Oh, that was before the chet?
Before the
chet. Yeah,
before
the
chet. Ah, so this was what?
Aleph was before, ayin after.
That's what it was?
Before the chet, they had the skin of nails. After Hashem took it off, and then they needed real clothing because they talked in
their clothing. Right. So then what was the real clothing made out of?
They didn't really need clothing, it was transumed.
So no, I'm saying afterwards. Afterwards, what was it made out of? Not sure. Okay. The Gemara says that they cover themselves with the fig tree, but I don't know if the clothing was made. Could be it was just covering the makom. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. But interestingly, I saw on Shabbos.
But they ended up needing clothes. I mean,
yeah.
In this parsha we had Esav's beged, which was supposedly from Adam HaRishon and had mystical powers to attract the animals.
Right.
Had animals all on it. This was mamish clothing.
Right. So I saw something an interesting pshat in this week's parasha. It says we always talk about Adam Rishon's clothing. Whatever happened to Chava's clothing? I'm not such an egalitarian Jew over here, but what happened to Chava's clothing? I never heard anyone discussing this. But I saw a sefer on Shabbos called, there's a sefer called Chemdas Yomim that I'm learning a shtickle. It's from Rav Shalom Shabazi, one of the Gedali Taiman. He was born in 1619, he died in 1720, so he was 101 years old. But he has a sefer on Chumash called Chemdas Yamim, and this week's parashah told us, it says, Ace Big Day Esav HaChamudais. It says, S usually comes to add another thing, S L'Rabbis. And Big Day sounds like clothes, like multi, it doesn't say Beged Esav, it says Big Day, the clothes of it. Chamudais is also Lashon Rabbim. I said he was wearing cute clothes because chamud in modern Hebrew means cute, but his like special clothes. So it sounds like it was special clothes in plural. But if we're just talking about like the coat of Adam Rishon, so it should be one cloth, not clothes. So he says that Esav used to wear the clothes of Adam Rishon and the clothes of Chava. So he was a cross-dresser also. Esav was a cross-dresser and he wore the clothes of Adam and Chava. That's what it means. Es Big Day Esav Achamud. It's not an idea. V'hamazikin, going weiter in the Midrash, it says V'hamazikin, the damaging angels or damaging creations. Someone asked, right? When we said that these things were created Banish Mashas, so was it when Banish Mashas? What day Banish Mashas? So our girsa of the famous, the way we on this, that we have the Mishnah in Mesachas Avos in Perek Hay, it says Asara Dvar Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Banish Mashas. Sounds like all these things were created Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, Friday evening before Shabbos of Bria Sa'ilam, that's when Hashem created these eight things, or in the Mishnah, it's ten things. What?
Well, Adam HaRishon was created Erev Shabbos.
Adam HaRishon himself was created Erev Shabbos, that's true.
But this is
in the morning.
Yom Echad, so it all started on Yom Rishon.
Well, what are you saying?
Right?
What?
Yom Rishon was Yom Rishon. If Adam was created on Yom Shishi,
yeah,
then Yom Rishon
was a Sunday.
Was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And but you're saying that they were all created on Erev Shabbos? I don't understand.
Erev Shabbos meaning the same day that Adam Rishon was created, that evening.
Going
after Adam Rishon.
Even though it starts out on Yom Rishon here, it doesn't mean
this is the point that I want to speak about. That our Mishnah says in Avos Asardam Nivru Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, and a lot of Rishonim, some Rishonim don't have the words Erev Shabbos, they just have Bein Hashmashos, and they explain that it means Erev Shabbos, and some Rishonim have it the way we have it, that says in the Mishnah Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. I found one Rishon that says not like either of these two ways. There's a Sefer called Sefer Musar from a Talmud of the Rambam. I forget his name. It's either of Yosef ben Yehuda or of Yehuda ben Yosef. I forgot what his name was. But he's a Rishon. And on this Mishnah in Avos, he has a Sefer Musar on Masechus Avos. He says that Asar Dvarim Nivru'u Bein Hashmashos, and he goes through each one and says how each which day of the week each one was created, how it's kashur to, it's let's say tangentially kashur to the creations of that day. Let's say, I don't remember specifically with what he says, but let's say in the Mishnah it says Piha Asayin, the mouth of Bilam's donkey, right? So the donkeys were created on the sixth day. So this was created like Bein Hashmashos of the sixth day, and each of them he explains how each of them has a kesher to a certain day of creation. And he says that it was created on the Bein Hashmashos of that day.
That's what makes sense,
especially in light of the way Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer brings it down. We're talking about the first day, and all of a sudden we're talking about Bein Hashmashos. If we're talking about Bein Hashmashos of Erev Shabbos, so it would be a few prokim after this. Perek Yotes is what we talk about Erev Shabbos. It happens to be that in Perek Yotes he does mention these things again, Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, Ma Lasot. Although from here it sounds mamish like what the Sefer Musar is saying. It's just an interesting point. Fine, let's go later. Asara dvarim olu b'machshava. 10 things came up in Hashem's thoughts when He was first creating the world. When Hashem was first creating the world, He thought about these 10 things, but they weren't created until later on. Yerushalayim, v'ruches avos, the spirits of the avos, v'orches tzadikim, and the path of the tzadikim, v'gehenim, and gehenim. Now the Radal says that Gehenim over here can't mean Gehenim as we understand it, because we said last week that Gehenim was one of the 7 things that were created before Hashem created the world. So how could we say that Gehenim Hashem thought about before creating the world? So he wants to be machalik between 2 types of Gehenim. He says maybe there's, last week we were talking about the space of Gehenim, wherever the location of Gehenim, and here we're talking about the fire of Gehenim, which we're going to see. We're not going to see it, but at least we're not going to see it now. But the fire of Gehenim was created, I think, on the second day of creation. So here we're talking about before Hashem started creating everything else. So thought about creating the fire of Gehenim, but He's not going to do it until the second day of creation. He alternatively wants to say that what it means here, Gehenim, that it's supposed to be that's a mistake, and it should say Rishoyim, and then you would read it V'orchos Tzadikim V'Rishoyim. The pathways of tzaddikim and rishon. Okay, that's one mahalach of the in the Radal. Umei hamabul, the waters of the deluge, v'luchas hashanim, and the second tablets. Right, we said last week that the luchos. We said that last week? No, we didn't say last week.
I'm wondering where
the first one. The Mishnah in Avos says that the luchos were created erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos. So what about the second luchos? So the Radal explains that the second luchos obviously were created by Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem said Psal luchos shnei luchos avonim kareishenim. But Hashem thought about the second luchos already beforehand. Shabbos, Hashem thought beforehand. Like Rav Shlomo Alkabitz immortalized this idea in Lecha Doidi. We say Seif Ma'aseh b'machshava tchila, talking about Shabbos. Seif Ma'aseh, the last of the creations. The seventh day, b'machshava tchila, Hashem was thinking about it from beforehand. V'amikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash. Now we said before that Beis HaMikdash was one of the seven things that Hashem created before He created the world. So here again, the Radal says that you have to be machalik between the place of the Mikdash and the building of the Mikdash. Before, we were talking about the place of the Mikdash. That was created before the world was created. But the actual building of the Mikdash that Bnei Yisrael created, built later on. Okay. The Aron, and the Aron that housed the Luchas in the Beis HaMikdash. V'or l'Olam Haba, and the light for Olam Haba. And also the Bayis HaGodol, the pirsh that you guys have on the bottom, he points out that Gehenim and Beis HaMikdash, we already said before, but the way the Radal says it, we already answered those questions. That we're talking about, two nukudas of Gehenim and two nukudas of the Beis HaMikdash.
How come Hashem was thinking about the Or, the Olam Haba, without thinking about the Olam Haba?
What does it mean, the Or of Olam Haba? I don't know what that means.
Okay. It's like you open the fridge and there's Or inside the flat. But you know, you need the space, you need the concept before. So you think, you know, Or Olam. It was before. It doesn't matter, Tohu Vavohu or whatever. But there was light afterwards. So why he thought about the Or the Olam Haba before thinking about the Olam Haba itself?
I think, I don't know.
Was it created before
creating
this whole
Olam?
The Olam Haba was created before?
We're saying, Rabbi Pomeran said, mentioned before, that when we're talking about Or right now, on the first day of creation, that was the Or that was Ganus for Tzadikim, Lo Olam Haba. That's the Or of Ganus. So it's funny because we just said that Or was created on the first day. And now we're saying that it was all of B'machshavtei. Maybe it was all about Machshavta to use it for later on. Maybe that's what it means.
It was created already, and his Machshavta was, what should I include it in, quote unquote, creation?
Right. I guess that's the shot.
Obviously, here though, it's Or of Le'olam Haba, which is not Or in the sense of light. It's a different type of thing. It is not. It's not this kind. It's not real.
You can't describe it. We don't know what it is. it's something else. The word light is just a mashal for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I guess that's the. Now we're gonna learn some really weird stuff over here. I'm telling you. You'll see. We could try to understand different nukudas of this, but to really understand what it's saying, I don't know, and I'm not, and I don't even pretend to know, but. Okay, let's try it out. Shamayim me'eza makim nivru. Where were the heavens created from? That's the question of Pirkei Avot. Is there any answers? Me'or levusha shel Kadosh Baruch Hu shehu lavush. It's created from the light of the clothing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wears. Lokach mimeno, Hashem took from that light, or took from that clothing, uparas kasimla, and He spread it out, like, let's say, like a talis. Vayimayschen ahochen, and it was going and spreading and going out more. What? You look like you have something to say. What? And it was going and spreading out more and more until Hashem said stop. Maybe this is the Big Bang or something. Where we understand that at least the scientists understand that like the universe is like constantly expanding and expanding, like spreading out. So maybe this is some sort of remnant to that idea. The Alkei Nikur Shemay Shakai. That's why Hashem is called Shakai. She'omer l'shamayim die ve'omadu. Hashem said to the Shemayim, stop spreading, and it stopped. Ve'omadu, it stopped. The Radal points out that over here, the Medrash is darshaning that Shakai Shin Dalid and then Yud is like Shin means Shemayim and then die. But he says elsewhere it says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is omer la'olamo die. He said to the whole world. Not just Shemayim, but Shemayim and Eretz. Sh'amar la'olam die. And if you learn like that, so then the name Shakai should be darshan. The Shin meaning Sh'amar la'olam die. Does the Shin just represent Shemayim, or does it represent Sh'amar? That's what the Radal points out. Fine. So the Medrash is saying that the Shemayim was created from the light of the clothing of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. How do we know that the Shemayim is created from the light of his clothing? Shenamar, it says the pasuk. We say this pasuk every morning when we put on our talis. Okay, now ha'aretz me'ezam makim nivris. Where was the land created from? We know where the Shemayim. Now we want to know where the land is created. So it says the Medrash. Mishaleg shetaras kisei hakavod, from the snow which is under the kisei hakavod. What happened? Lokach v'zorak al ha'mayim, Hashem took from that snow and he threw it onto the water. V'nikpu'u ha'mayim, and the water became hardened. V'natza afar aretz, and from that the dirt of the land was created. Shenemar ki l'shelag yemer hevei aretz, because Hashem said to the snow, "You should be land. You should become land." That's what it says in the Medrash. Okay. My, what's happening over here? So, I would like to share with you guys the Rambam's reaction to this Medrash. And the Rambam in the Guide to the Perplexed, so in Mar Nevuchim, so the Rambam himself is perplexed when it comes to this piece of Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer, as I'll explain in a moment. Just a little bit of background. The Rambam in Mar Nevuchim discusses three different philosophies about the creation of the world. Aristotle's philosophy, Plato's philosophy, and the Rambam's philosophy. Aristotle holds that the world is the Olam Kadmon. The world always existed, always will exist, and nothing changes, and it runs by itself. That's Aristotle. Plato holds that the world didn't always exist, but was rather created from something known in Greek philosophy as heuli, some sort of, or in other Mepharshim call it the Chomer HaRishon, the first matter. And from that, the world was created, but that first matter always existed. But the world didn't always exist, just that first matter always existed. Rambam understands that the world was created directly from a Kaddish Baruch. Yeah. So the Rambam brings this piece of Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer, and he asks a question on it. And he says, what are you asking me? Where was the Shemayim created from? Where was the Eretz created from? What kind of question is that? Hashem created it. Where was it created from? That's one question. And so it sounds like Hashem, kibiyochol, or pashtus, the Rambam is saying, that it sounds like from this Medrash that Hashem can't create it from nothing. Hashem must have created it from something else. And if you're saying Hashem must have created it from something else, so the Medrash has to give an answer. But where do you get that from, that Hashem can't create it from nothing? That's one question. The other question is, you didn't really answer the question. You said, it's created from the light of his clothing, or the Eretz is created from the snow, shetachas kisei hakavod. So then, ask Viter. So where was his clothing created from? Where is that the snow from the kisei hakavod created from? How come we didn't really answer the question? If nothing could be created from, if there's no such thing as creating something from nothing, so we said that the world was created, Shemayim was created from olavushay, right? But nothing can be created. You can't create something from nothing, right? So the world was created from olavushay. So where was olavushay created from? Because you can't create something from nothing. Or where was the snow created from? You didn't really answer the question. You go vayter and vayter. So the Rambam says it sounds like Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer holds like Plato's philosophy. That the world is not eternal. The world was created from some sort of first matter, and that first matter is eternal. So it sounds like the world. Where was the world created from? Oh, the Vushay or Shelach Shetachas Kisei Hakavod. That's the first matter. Where was that created from? That we don't ask from, because that's eternal. That's how the Rambam understood Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer, and he writes some very, very sharp things against this piece of Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer. I'm just going to read it to you.
It's not such a big difference, other than saying, rather than that primordial stuff, that first matter, just replacing that concept with God existed, and God had the ability to create that first matter. That's all.
Okay, so
you need a first.
So
okay?
I'm gonna
a first that's beyond our comprehension.
I'm gonna propose a similar idea to how to understand the Pirkei Zohar B'Eliezer. I just want to read you guys the Rambam, because it's very you might enjoy the way he says it. This is Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Sheni, Perek Chav Vav. I'm reading from the Kafach translation of the Rambam. It says Reisi the Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Devarim BePirkim Hamufor Samim Hayidum B'Shem Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. I saw the Rabbi Eliezer writes in his prakim, his famous prakim, in the Sefer known as Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Pirkei Rebbe, not Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. L'ra'isi klal yesu t'mui mehem. I never saw anything more tamua, more astonishing or wondrous. B'divrei af echad me'ahalchim b'teres Moshe Rabbeinu. I never saw any from person write something as weird as this. V'hu, and it is, shehu omar dvarim shema l'shanu. He writes the following things, listen to what he writes, and then he quotes Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And he writes, "Umi itin v'yotati mas sover chacham says." Someone could, halavai, someone be able to explain to me what this chacham Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer holds. And he explains the questions as I said them. And then he writes in the end. Kloli shel davar, you know, to make a sikkum of what I'm saying. Hem dvarim hamishabshim daitel shemalumen hadati ma'id ma'id. These things that are written in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer over here are can mess up the understanding of a religious person very, very much so. V'lein is barely by beer master. I don't know any way of explaining it enough. I'm only bringing it down so that you don't make any mistakes about it. He's saying, throw this piece of this shtickle Torah out of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. I'm just mentioning it because I don't want you to like make a mistake and see this and try become an apocryphal or something. And then the Rambam says that there's one nekuda that he does like, and the nekudas that the Shemayim and the Eretz are coming from two different places or whatever. But that's in general, this is what the Rambam says about this piece of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. So how are we supposed to understand it? There's a sefer called Meisei Hashem. It's written by Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi. Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi was a very interesting personality. He lived in the time of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. He was a grandson of the Marik. He has tshuvas. The Beis Yosef and the Ramah, both of them wrote tshuvas to and from him. And he traveled around the world. He lived originally in Italy. He lived in Turkey, Poland, whatever. He wrote a bunch of svarim, but we only have two svarim that still exist from him. The first one's called Yosef Lekach on Megillas Esther. If you've heard of it, it might be because Rav Shlomo Brev, the Zatzal, made that sefer famous. Like, he went around the world speaking about Yosef Lekach on Megillas Esther. And he also reprinted it again. And he wrote this other sefer called Meisei Hashem, which is basically on stories of Chumash and also on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So he brings down the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and he has some halach to explain it. And also, I have also my own a little bit, maybe it's a similar idea, but the way he explains it is like this. There's two types of creations. There's creation of Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, and then there's a creation of Yesh Me'esh, something from something. And he says that the Torah wants to teach us that Hashem has the ability to create both Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, and something from something. What does that mean? So he says that originally Hashem created, let's say, the Or Levushoy and this Sheleg Shetachas Kisei HaKavod, something from nothing, to teach us this lesson that Hashem can create something from nothing. But then Hashem wanted to teach us another lesson that He can create Yesh Me'esh. So instead of creating the world Yesh Me'ayin, there's no point in doing that. He says why? Because if I tell you that I can create something from nothing, does it matter if I can create one something from nothing or I can create a thousand somethings from nothing? Once I tell you the idea that I can create something from nothing, so it doesn't matter how many somethings I can create from nothing. It's the same power. So all Hashem had to do to show that He can create Yesh Me'ayin is to create, you know, one small thing from nothing. So Hashem did. He created the forerunner of the Shemayim, which we call the Levushay, whatever that means, and the forerunner of the Eretz, which is the Shelik Shetachas Kisei Kovid, and that was His Yesh Me'ayin. That we learned the lesson from that. Then Hashem created the rest of the world. Came Yesh Me'esh. Everything else in the Shemayim was created from that Or Levushay, and everything from the Eretz was created from that Shelik Shetachas Kisei Kovid. To teach us that Hashem also creates Yesh Me'esh. No, you would think to yourself, well, what do you mean? If Hashem could create something from nothing, then for sure He can create something from something, right? It's a kavul chomer. So he says, no, it's not necessarily true, because he gives the mashal. If you make a round pot out of clay, yeah, can you take this round pot out of clay and now turn it into a square pot? No. The only way you can do it is if you smash it and you bring it down back to its original elements and then redo it and make it now into a square pot. But as a round pot, you can't just take a round pot and turn it into a square pot. It doesn't work like that. You have to go break it down and then make it into a square. So it says, you would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he creates the world, it's done and he can't change it around and that's the way it is. He can only do Yesh Me'ayin and nothing else. So we're coming to teach you a Chiddush that Hashem can also do Yesh Me'yesh. He doesn't say this part that I'm about to say, but I think that this is what he means. That Hashem also intervenes in the created world. It already exists, and Hashem still changes things around. That's the way the Sefer Ma'aseh Hashem.
Suppose the philosophers think that once the world was created, so even though there's Hashem, you know, it's written in what's it called, the Kuzari.
Yeah.
So even though the world was created and Hashem created it, okay, I can take it, but he's not in, you know.
Now he's retired. He's
not
gone.
Appearance. Like
he's out of the picture.
There, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
Like everything that happens here, the trees and the birds and the people and the babies and whatever, we do it.
Right.
So maybe that's against that.
Concept. Right. It's exactly against that idea that Hashem does intervene in the world. He does Yesh Me'ayin, and he also does Yesh Me'yesh. So that's one. So according to this Mahalach, really, so the answer to the Rambam's question is no. Of course, Hashem could create everything from something else, but Hashem wants to teach us two chidushim. So that's why he did it in this, so to speak, funny way in order to teach us both lessons. They can create Yesh Me'yesh and Yesh Me'ayin. That's one nekuda. I wanted to say maybe a slightly different approach, and I wouldn't say this stam because. You know, when you're talking about these type of things, you know, you have to like make sure that you're not like staying up your courses or whatever. But I spoke to a few different Talmid Chachamim and they didn't argue what I said. They said, I hear it. It makes sense. So I'll say it over to you guys and see what you guys think. We have a concept that there's two types of miracles. Hashem makes a miracle, Nes Goloi and a Nes Nister. An open miracle, which is obvious to everyone that sees it. And then there's a Nes that's not so obvious. It's a miracle that's less apparent. It's more subtle. Yeah. So we understand that especially nowadays, but even before, Hashem, even when he's making a nes, Hashem prefers to make a less obvious nes, a nes nister as opposed to a nes nigla. That's just the derech of Hashem. Maybe I think somewhere it says, you know, from this you see the anivus of Hashem, and Kol Shekin, that we should learn that to be an anav, like Hashem is an anav. Hashem makes a nes that it's not so obvious that he had a hand in it. It looks like it's Derech HaTeva, but Hashem really had a hand in it. So, instead of making an ace that it's obvious that it's an ace. So Kol Shekin, we should do things by Nivus instead of like showing off and doing everything as if it's coming from us. But the point is that Hashem prefers to do an ace nister than to do an ace nigla. So if you're talking about two types of creation, there's a type of creation that's Yesh Me'ayin and Yesh Me'yesh. So it would seem that Yesh Me'ayin is a bigger chiddush. It's making something out of nothing. It's mamash nes nigla. So where did that come from? Nowhere, huh? Right? If you have a nes, if you have something from something, so you could say, oh, it morphed into, it evolved into, whatever terminology you want to use. But it's not so apparent that there's a Hashem behind it. So we can maybe you could say that Hashem didn't want to create the whole world. There's no such. You couldn't create the whole world. Nister, because the world didn't exist before it was created. So Hashem wanted to, make it less nigla than it would have been. So Hashem created just the first elements as a Yesh Me'ayin, something out of nothing, to make an open miracle. And then after that, He created from those things. He created like as if it looks like it's Derech HaTeva, this morphed into all the things that have to do with Shemayim. This morphed into all the things that have to do with Eretz. It could be that's the pshat in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Not sure. Al Kaponim. So the Medrash is saying that the world was created from the Shemayim was created from Olav Vushay Shal Kadosh Baruch. Also, Stam, I just remembered that the Radal brings down from. There's a Pirush on Shir Shirim that's Miochas Ramban, but it's printed in Kisvei Ramban and Masar of Kuk, but it's really written by Rabbeinu Ezra, another Rishon who was a Mukubal. He brings down the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and he says Taka that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar holds like Plato, like the Rambam was saying, but the Rambam was saying like, does he hold like Plato? And he was saying, oh, he holds like Plato. Okay. So just to recap, the Midrash is saying that the Shamayim was created from Or Levusha Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Eretz was created from the Shelag Shetachas Kisei HaKovod. The Radal brings that there's another Girsa that it was the Ofar Shetachas Kisei HaKovod, but in our Midrash it says that the Shelag became like Ofar. Maybe I'll speak about that in a moment. But Sam, what's this Musig of Shelag? Just obviously all these things. By the way, the Radal has a whole different way of answering the Rambam's question on the Pirkei Avos. I don't exactly understand what the Radal is saying, but it's like I'll pick Kabbalah, but I'm not, without getting into the Kabbalah, everything I'm saying is trying to like not get into the Kabbalah, like the Pashup Shat. But what's this musig of the snow that's Tachas Kisei covered? Like, what's the snow? Like, what shach is the snow? So I saw two interesting Mahalchim in to be Masbe, what's this Indian of snow? So the Radal brings from the Sefer Sodi Razi, which I believe is Miuchas to the Rekeach, that the snow, you have to have lived in New York in order to understand this. You probably understand this really good. Snow, when it first snows, the first day it snows, it comes down, it's all white, and it's like quiet and nice and beautiful. Yeah? And then it starts like melting, and then a day or two later, it's like, it starts getting like black and icky and disgusting and whatever. Yeah. So the Radal says from the Sayyidi Razi that that's the pshat in the world. Hashem created like snow, like it had so much potential to be like nice and beautiful and all good, and then like people messed it up and it became like dark and black and these things. That's one mahalach.
But why is it under his chair, under Hakiseh HaKavod?
I don't know.
Meaning the question is me'ezem ha'om nivra.
From what's the place? And the answer is it's the snow from that place.
The wrong answer also. It actually is not from the place. It was created from the shelag itself.
Oh, yeah.
So, what?
I don't know. The Radal brings a pasuk of that we say the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Hashomayim kisi v'ha'aretz hadayim ragloi. Shamayim is my chair. Hashem says the Shamayim is my chair, and the aretz, the land, is hadayim ragloi. Like I don't know. I think the word is the ottoman. Where you put your feet up on the like on a recliner chair. So the aretz is my ottoman. I don't know what's the word for it in English. Ottoman. It's an ottoman. Yeah, you like a thing, a footstool. Yeah, the aretz is my footstool. So maybe that's what he says. So that has to do with this. What's a footstool? Like you have like a, like you're sitting down on here and you have like a zach with like feet and whatever, and you sit down and like you put your foot up on it.
Oh yeah, that thing.
Something, I don't know, that's what...
They're very expensive, so it can be very expensive too.
Yeah?
Go to the small cheap ones.
So, I don't know. But that's what the Radal says, what the Indian of Shalik. I saw another pshat in the Indian of Shalik. This is very interesting how I came found this pshat, but there's a earlier Rishon called Rabbi Yaakov Anatoly. And Rav Yaakov Anatoly wrote a sefer called Ma'amad HaTalmidim, which is one of the first sifri drush that was written in the time of the Rishonim. And a lot of all other Rishonim came out plagiarized him, and they took a lot of ideas from this sefer called Ma'amad HaTalmidim. Not plagiarized. Back then, the minhag wasn't to quote people by name. Like the Rashba and even other Rishonim, they bring ideas from this sefer Ma'amad HaTalmidim. But the Ma'amad HaTalmidim, Rav Yaakov Anatoly, he was supported by the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick II. And in his Sefer Muhammad HaTalmid of Parshas Boy, he brings a pshat in the name of Frederick II, Emperor Frederick II. And he says, what's the pshat that the world was created from the Shelag Shetachas Kisei HaKovod? He says that the word is that Shelag, what's the yisoid of Shelag is that it's white. He doesn't explain it, but I think the pshat is that if you look in the Mesachas Negoyim, in the beginning of Negoyim, it brings, there's different shades of white in regard to Tzaras. And the whitest shade of white is called Shelag. By him, it says, V'hinim Tzaras Kasholag. She was white like snow. Snow is, snow white is like snow white, you know, snow white. Right. But the Indian of white is that white is all the colors put together. When you're talking about black, so black absorbs all the colors and white bounces all the colors back into your eye. So that's what white is.
If you think about what a snowflake is, if you take a close look at it, you'll see that they're all crystalline structures, okay? They have the ability to morph light, whatever. So
right.
If they have this ability, to take in light and to morph it. All light, all they make color.
Right.
They make white. The summation of all colors.
It looks like it's white, but if you really look at it, it's really all
because
colors put together.
Because it's a crystal.
So that that's the vart why the Aretz was created from this Shelig, because the Shelig is white, which it's not really white, it's all colors put together. All colors put together represents the idea that it has the potential for everything. Anything can happen to it. And if you want to finish off like the way the Radha says, and people messed it up. But not necessarily, just the point is that the Indian of white is that it includes everything. Not like the Radha was saying that it was nice and then people messed it up. He's just saying that it includes all different colors. There's another interesting Nakuda that the Radha brings in Ois Nunhei, if you want to look at it. He brings from the Mordechai in the Maseches Chulin. This is more halachadik. There's a mitzvah called Kisei Adam. We're going to learn more about it, I think, in Perek Tes, in Perek Dev Lizer. There's a mitzvah called Kisei Adam that when you shecht a chaya or an oif, so you have to cover the blood of the chaya or oif. You have to cover it v'chisahu be'ofar. You have to cover it in dirt. In dirt. Says the Mordechai, in the name of the Go'inim, Mordechai is in Maseches Chulin in Perek Kisei Adam. That's the perek that talks about these halachas. It says that if you cover something with, you can also cover it with Sheleg. Shenemar ki l'Sheleg yomer hevei aretz. He brings the pasuk that our Medrash brings. Sheleg is called dirt, which is a very interesting idea. Sheleg is called dirt. That's what the Mordechai says, and the Radha brings that the Beis Yosef over in Yerideh and Simon Chaf Ches, which talks about Hilchos Kisei Adam. So the Beis Yosef says that. That no, it's not true, because we don't see in the pasuk that snow is called dirt. First of all, it says kilashel yomer heve eretz. It says eretz. It doesn't say dirt. Yeah, if you look in our medrash, it says that it's nasa ofer haaretz. But it says, also, you don't see that shelig is called dirt. It says that from the shelig Hashem created the eretz. It's not that the shelig is also called eretz. So the Beis Yosef says that it's not necessarily true. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch he doesn't bring anything about using snow for Kisei Adam. He doesn't say yes or no. The Darkei Moshe, this gets interesting. The Darkei Moshe in when he's talking about Kisei Adam, he brings in the name of the Ur Zeruah, that the Ur Zeruah said in the name of Ga'inim, the same Ga'inim, says that some people say that you're allowed to use Sheleg for Kisei Adam, but it's a mistake. They're making a mistake because it's going to melt, and if it melts, then it's not covered anymore. So therefore, you can't use it. But there's no such thing as the way the Pirmei Gadim says that there's no halacha that it has to be that it's going to be covered forever. But he understood that they're more saying that that's not called covering it if it's like it's something that's going to melt. So he says that you shouldn't do it. L'mais of the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch says, don't use snow for Kisei Adam. But the Prima Gadim says that if you do, if you're in a case of Shasid Chak, he says you could do Kisei Adam with snow, but you shouldn't make a bracha. And also the Or HaChaim in Pritayar also says that if somebody did Kisei Adam with snow and now you want to do a real Kisei Adam on that thing, you shouldn't make a bracha, because it could be that the first guy was Yaitze. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's like in halacha
that discusses this, in that is it considered that you did the mitzvah if you covered the dam and then wind came along and blew it off?
Right.
And there's a debate about
it. Yes, the Gemara does discuss that. I don't remember what the Gemara says, but I remember the Gemara does discuss that. Okay, let's go weiter. I don't exactly understand what this is saying over here, but we'll try to understand it. Basically, what it's going to say is that the heavens is somehow like a tent over the Eretz. So, like a tent, the canopy of a tent is sort of tied down to the bottom so that it won't fly away. So it says, Korkasei HaShemayim, these rings that hold down the Shemayim, Bimeimei Ukyainos Hemachuzim. They're in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean. Shemayim Ukyainos Ben Kitzes Oretz Leven Kitzes HaShemayim. Because the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, is between the Eretz and the Shemayim, and Him Prusim, sorry, and the Shemayim is sort of spread over the Meyukianus, over the ocean. Shenemar Hamekora B'mayim Al Yosef. HaMekore, it's talking about the Shemayim, and the Shemayim is Mekore, like a Kore, like a roof, B'mayim Aliyah Yisov, a roof over the water. Toichen Shel Shemayim, Oile Lamala, the, let's say, the inner of Shemayim is, goes upwards, is above. Kadoyim Hi Ka'il Prusa, it's round, like a spread out tent. What does that mean? He explains that Ketseseha Lamata V'Seichel Lamala. The edges, let's say like this. Look, the edges of the Shemayim are like somehow like this, below the horizon, let's say, or below the ocean, and then it goes up like this. Ketseseha Lamata, it's like you under the ocean or under the Eretz. I don't know what this means. I'm just explaining what the words are saying, and the inside is lamala. That's what it's saying. V'seichel lamala v'chol bnei adam yeshuim tachtah, and all people live under that canopy. Kach hein ha-shamayim. That's how the shamayim is. K'tzesim lamata v'seichel lamala ka'oyel. The edges on the bottom and the inside is on top. Shenemar v'ayim tochem ka'oyel l'shavis. I don't know what that means, but so we'll just, if you have a better understanding, please speak up.
It sounds like if they hold that the earth is round,
yeah,
that the edges would have to be on the bottom but almost touching each other, so that everything else was on top. Could everything that was in between would be lamala, but that's the only way it gets round.
I don't know.
Like this, and you have a half of a
three dimension.
Huh?
I think it's 3D kappa from above.
Yeah, but if you're like horizontal, if you have the edges being horizontal, like on the table, one over there and one over there, then the best you can do is get a semicircle. Mm-hmm. You get a dome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about the other side? How about China?
I don't know if it really means that there's like actual. I don't think it really means that there's like actual rings holding it down. I think it's just saying like a mushal, like just like a tent goes like this, so the Shemayim goes like this over the Eretz. And it could be a full circle. It doesn't, I don't think that, I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah, I think that.
It's a mushal.
It's a mushal. I don't know what the nimshal is exactly, but the. Okay, I really want to finish the parak because.
For a second, I was thinking, I was talking about the cycle of.
Got it wrong?
Today we're talking about something else, but it's talking about Adama, so I don't. It's really confusing.
Yeah.
What I mean? I thought it was talking about only water. Then water was inside, and then inside went up. I was like, maybe it's talking about the flow of water when it evaporates.
That actually, we're gonna speak about that next week. That's a very interesting how Piccadilly Lizard deals with that.
But, yeah, but it's not here.
Right. Fine. Let's just sort of try to make a run for it. Abu Ruchis Ba'alam. There's four directions in the world. Ruach Pinas HaMizrach, East. Ruach Pinas HaMarev, West. Ruach Pinas HaDarim, the wind from the south. Ruach Pinas HaTzafen, the wind from the north. Ruach Pinas HaMizrach Misham Ha'ar Yetzel Olam. The wind from the east. That's the side that the sun comes from. Ruach Pinas HaDarim Misham Talalei Bracha V'Gishre Bracha Yetzel Olam. The wind that comes from the south. That's where Tlali Bracha, the dew of Bracha and the rain of Bracha comes out from to the world. Ruach Pinas HaMarev, the wind coming from the west, Misham Chishech Yetzel Olam, that's where the darkness comes to the world. Ruach Pinas HaTzofen, the wind coming from the north, Misham Eitzres HaShalek, that's where the storage houses of snow is, like the North Pole, V'Eitzres HaBorod, and the storage houses of Borod, what's the word I'm looking for? Hail. V'kor and v'choyim u'gishamim yetzim l'olam, and that's where like heat and coldness, and that's what sort of makes climate changes. The ruach from the pinas
ha'tzofen. The global warming is coming from there.
That's what they tie now. They say that the ice caps are like melting, and that's causing different things to happen.
The ocean layer from the Arctic Ocean is melting, and that goes down to the Atlantic Ocean, which affects the.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know exactly.
And then in 1995.
And then really what's happening is precarious.
In 96 there's a blizzard.
Right. But the whatever.
But there wasn't current because 97 repeated on itself. 3 years,
one
back and forth.
Yeah. Kol Ishal, we don't know what we're talking about. Dover Acher, this is what we were just saying, the way I understand it. Dover Acher, another expression. Ruach Pinas Atzafin, the northern wind, Bara V'leg Gemara. Hashem created it, but he didn't finish creating it. Amar, Hashem said, Shekol Misha Yama Shehu Aleika, anyone who says that he's God, Yama V'igma Yasapin Azay Sheinachti. So you finish, you want to say you're God, you finish creating the northern wind. V'yedu Akol Shehu Aleika. Then you show everyone that you're really God. Oh, you can't do it? Oh, we see that you're not really God. This is a very interesting idea. I have a mahalach maybe to understand it a little bit better. I don't know, Birshus, maybe I'll say such a mahalach. The Gemara in Yevamos says that the reason why Klal Yisrael didn't do Bris Milah when they were in the Midbar is because the Ruach Tzfonis didn't blow, and therefore it was a sakana for them to do Bris Milah, because the northern wind has special powers that can kill people. So the way I want to explain this medrash is that when Hashem created the Ruach Tzfonis, the wind of the northern wind, He put in it a koyach that it could give healing and heal people. But he didn't make it that this ruach could heal people in Gansin in the way that there's no maladies and there's no diseases and there's no illnesses anymore. He left it that there are illnesses and there are sicknesses in the world. Why? So that if someone wants to come and say, "Yo, I'm God," so that, okay, so heal all the sick people in the world. You can't. So that proves that you're not God. That's why I want to understand the medrash. And we see this mamish bizmanenu, where we have, like, let's say scientists that come and they create people and make clones and all kinds of different things and all kinds of scientific advancements. But at the end of the day, we're also still susceptible to the same diseases and sicknesses that scientists don't know how to heal. We have Ebola breakout in the world, and you're a scientist. You play around with the world. You're like God, right? So do something about it. There's nothing I can do about it, right? I think that could be that's the pshat in the medrash. Going weiter, v'sham, we're still talking about the north side. Sham hu moder l'mazikin v'lezaves l'ruches v'lesheidim. The north place is the place of inhabitants of mazikin and different spirits and sheidim and also Santa Claus, right? Yeah, Labrakim, Vilaramim, lightning and thunder, Mishom Ra Yisus La'ilam, and that's where the bad comes from. The north, yeah. Shenema Mitzafon Tipata Hara, from the north, that's where the Ra comes. Tzafon in Lashon Hakodesh means hidden, and it also means north, hidden and north. You have to know what the Pashim Shad and hidden and north is, because in the north, that's where the sun is hidden. The sun is the weakest in the north. That's why it's very cold, because the sun is very shvach. But also it has to do with the what's it called, with the Yetzirah, who's called the hidden one. But we're not going to be marich about that now. Fine. Basar Mamoras Nivra Olam, the world was created with 10 utterances. It's a Mishnah also in Ovis in Perek Hay in the beginning. The Mishnah says, why did Hashem create the world with 10 utterances? Matamud Leimar Balu B'mamer Echad Yochali Hibaris. So the Mishnah says, Elohi Poro Min Arishoyim Shema Abdinas Olam Shenivra Basar Mamoras V'udim Sochar Tev Letzadikim Shema Kamenas Olam Shenivra Basar Mamoras. To punish the Rishoyim who messed up the world that was created with 10 utterances, or to give schar to the tzaddikim who were mekayim the world that was created with 10 utterances. The point is to make it more serious. It was 10 utterances. It wasn't just like one utterance that Hashem created the world. It was a real ve'elohin, and the Medrash lists them off. In other places, Chazal also tried listing them off in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis. But the Medrash says like this: Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, that's one. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia, two. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Kavu Amayim, three. Vayomer Elokim Tachei Aretz. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'oyres. Vayomer Elokim Yishutru Amayim. Vayomer Elokim Tatzei Aretz. Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam. Vayomer Elokim Hinei Nasati Lachem. Vayomer Elokim Lo Itev Hayes Adam Lavada. These are the 10 utterances according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah doesn't count Vayomer Elokim Hinei Nasati Lachem, which is when Hashem told Adam not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. There, the Gemara didn't count that as one of the 10. Instead, the Gemara said that Bereishis, the word Bereishis itself, is one of the 10. Okay. Uvishlesha Kululu, included in these 10 utterances is 3 concepts. Or Hashem used 3 concepts in order to create the world. Ve'eluhain, these are the 3 concepts. Bechachma, uvesuna, uvedas. With knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge. also known as Chachma Bina Vadas, Rosh Hateva's Chabad, right? Shneimer Hashem b'Chachma Yosar Eretz Kenin Shemayim b'Svuna b'Daitei Taimis Nivku. Hashem established the world with Chachma. He planned the world with Hashem b'Chachma Yosar Eretz. He established the Eretz with Chachma. Kenin Shemayim b'Svuna. He planned the Shemayim with Tvuna, with Bina. B'Daitei Taimis Nivku. And with his Das, the depths were brought down. Mishkan. Also, these three things were used by Bezalel when he was creating the Mishkan. The Mishkan, he had these three milas. Shenemar va'amali yisrael rochalekim b'chokhma v'svuna v'das. Hashem filled Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mata Yehuda with these three concepts: chokhma, tvuna, and das. Also, the Beis Hamikdash was done with these three things. Shenemar ben ish almanu hu mimata naftali v'aviv ish reish nechishes. There was a man who was the son of a widow from the Shevet of Naphtali, talking about Chiram. There's two Chirams, whatever. It gets to there was two Chirams, and one of them was from Naphtali, one was the king of Tsur, and he was the Ish Charish Nechishas. He knew how to, he was a smith, a coppersmith, whatever. V'imali is a Chachma, v'es a Tvun, v'es a Das. And Hashem gave him Chachma, Tvun, and Das. U'b'shar shanat l'ibonis, and the Beis Hamikdash is destined to be built with these three concepts as well. Shenemar b'chokhma yibane bayis, with chokhma Hashem will build the house. Uvetzvuna yiskeinen, and it'll be planned with tvuna. Uvedas chadarim yimalu, and with das the rooms will be filled. Uveshoshan also liten shalosh patranas tevis liyisrael, and with these three things Hashem is going to give good presence to Klal Yisrael. It sounds like it's talking about la'asud lovely, but I think that maybe it's talking about when the Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar and Hashem gave them the Mon, the Be'er, and the Ananiya Kovod, which the Gemara in Tanya Staff Tesam and Aleph says that these are Matanas Tovus. This is the same Lashon. What could be a Pashas is just talking about something La'asid Lavaya.
Yeah.
What? It says La'asid, but could be it's talking about La'asid from, let's say, from Bria So'ilam. Yeah, I'm not sure. But in the context, it sounds like it's talking about Lumayis Mashiach. Shenemar, Ki Hashem Yiten Chachma B'Piv Das U'Tvuna. Hashem is going to give Chachma, and from his mouth, from the mouth of Hashem, he's going to give Das U'Tvuna. U'Shlashan Kefulis Nini L'Melech HaMashiach. And these three things doubled, Hashem is going to give to Melech HaMashiach. Meaning, Hashem is going to give six things to Melech HaMashiach, including these three things, plus another three things. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, famous Pasuk, V'Noch Olav Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chachma U'Bina, Ruach Itzel Gvura, Ruach Das V'Yes Hashem. It'll come upon Mashiach, Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chachma Ubina. These are two of the things. Ruach Itzel Gvura, ability to give Itzel and power. Ruach Das is the third one, V'Yes Hashem and Yes Hashem. So it's going to be three things of Chachma, Bina, Das, plus Itzel Gvura and Yes Hashem, and that's what's going to be with Malach Mashiach. He should come, hopefully this week, Be'ez Hashem, Be'Mehir, V'Yameinu, Amen.